Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
All right, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Blessings to you guys this morning. I've been thinking about what we might do to best honor our mothers today, and I couldn't find anything that seemed quite right. And this morning, I woke up very early this morning and got up and started doing some reading, and I read the story of how Mother's Day came to be in the first place. There's this woman, it became her life's passion that this would become a holiday and a nationally recognized one. And it was this great work that she did and great burden that she carried and a great success that ultimately she won. And then the story's kind of a bummer. I know I'm supposed to tell really sweet stories. It gets really gross from here. She was disappointed with the direction that it took. And she spent the last years of her life and every penny basically railing against what Mother's Day was becoming because she didn't want it to become commercialized and all this stuff. And I thought, man, this isn't very sweet. I should have thought this through better. But I thought, that's a little bit of a parable for motherhood, which is there's something that you give rise to that you care so deeply about and you love so profoundly. And the great burden of it all is you can't control the outcome. There's something inherently vulnerable about loving anyone or anything, but especially about as a mom, a mother's love, the tremendous love that that is. It's a great joy, of course. It's also this tremendous burden. Now, you've heard the expression that you'll never be happier than your least happy kid. Have you heard that? I think that's true. And as I was thinking about that, I remembered a song. I don't know if you guys have heard of Sleeping at Last, but a brilliant artist. And I'm going to read you a couple lyrics from one of his songs on his album about the Enneagram, actually. Really good. He says this, and this just sounds like the words of a mother. Sweetheart, you look a little tired. When did you last eat? Come in, make yourself right at home, stay as long as you need. Tell me, is there something wrong? If there's something wrong, you can count on me. And then here it is. You know, I will take my heart clean apart if it'll help yours beat. It's okay if you can't find the words. Let me take your coat and this weight off of your shoulders. Like a force to be reckoned with, a mighty ocean or a gentle kiss, I will love you with every single thing I have. Like a tidal wave, I'll make a mess. Or calm waters, if that serves you best. I will love you without any strings attached. And then it's okay if you can't catch your breath. You can take the oxygen straight out of my own chest. That's what it is to be a mom. And there's a burden in that. And as I was thinking, what could we do to serve moms? I could have you stand up and we could all stare at you. And some of you would like it. Some of you would hate it. Give you roses. I don't know. Instead, I thought maybe we could pray for the moms in the room, particularly that their shoulders would remain strong in carrying the weight for the children they love so much and the burdens that they bear. So let me ask you if you would please stand as you're able. We're going to do a few things here. We're going to take a moment to pray specifically for moms. Then we're going to read a few verses from Scripture, and then we will say our prayer aloud together. If you happen to have a mom standing next to you, you could put a hand on her shoulder if you like. King Jesus, we're so grateful for the mothers in this room. And today is a day that we celebrate just their kindness, their compassion, their tremendous love. Today is a day really for celebrating, for focusing on all that is good and lovely and right and pure and true. And on a day like today, there is much to celebrate. We are so grateful. And so, Lord, we just want to acknowledge just the tremendous burden And there's great joy in being a parent, of course, tremendous joy. And there is this constant burden that is carried that just comes part and parcel with loving and loving sacrificially. And that burden can grow, that burden can grow heavy over time. It can make us feel weary. There are moms in this room who love their children so much and are celebrating how well they're doing. There are moms in this room who are struggling because they're concerned for their children, their health, their well-being, whatever it may be. And it's a tremendous burden. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would bring comfort, that you would bring assurance, that you would, and this would be tough for any mom in the room to believe, but would you assure them now that you love those children even more than they do? That ultimately you care for them? Ultimately you will restore? Ultimately you carry them in ways that no human ever could? And that we can trust you to care for what's yours? And so, Lord, I ask for burdens to be lifted. We don't want to care less or love any less deeply, and yet we want to hold on to the paradox where we carry the weight of loving others, the burden that comes with it, and yet we lean into this beautiful idea that in you our yoke is easy and our burden is light. And so for moms in this room, I ask that yokes would be easy and burdens would be light. And I pray today that they will feel truly and profoundly celebrated all throughout this day, as they should. We ask this in your name, King Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you'll remain standing, I'm going to read just a few verses to you. And like I said, we'll say our prayer together. This is Leviticus chapter 19. And then I'll also read from Deuteronomy chapter 24. It says this: when you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. And from Deuteronomy, when you're harvesting your crops and you forget to bring in a bundle of grain from your field, don't go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. When you beat the olives from your olive trees, and we all know what that's like. it's like you just get a stick and anyway. When you do that, don't go over the boughs twice. Leave the remaining olives for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. When you gather the grapes in your vineyard, don't glean the vines after they are picked. Leave the remaining grapes for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. That's why I'm giving you this command. Now, would you join me in saying our prayer aloud together? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you alone are King. Give us wisdom, courage, and kindness that we might bear your image well. Unify us in heart, soul, and purpose that the world might know your love. Make us your hands, generous and compassionate. Make us your feet, valiant and steady. In service to you and all you've created, give us love greater than fear. Onward for your kingdom, we're declaring your worth, finding our worth in you, and joining you in the renewal of all things. Amen. Thank you for joining me in that. You guys can have a seat. Once again, happy Mother's Day. It really is a special day. I actually got a message this morning. Someone in our church is giving birth as we speak. This seems very appropriate. It's like, okay, years of pain starting now. I think everybody's doing all right. We pray for them, though. Special day, though. I have a long track record. If you've been around here for a long time, you know this is true, not to my credit, to my shame, but I have a long track record of preaching on highly contentious topics on Mother's Day. It's never the plan. It just keeps happening, which is not great. It's like, here's your gift from me, moms, an awkward conversation at lunch. That's what we're going to do. Today, though, I'm super happy to report that I planned better, and we're going to discuss something that actually makes sense for Mother's Day. We're going to talk about feeding children. Question, do you guys remember the movie Prince of Egypt? Do you guys remember that movie? The one about Moses? And here's a crazy thought. This will be fun. That movie came out 26 years ago. Holy cow. Now I'm going back to being offensive on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, you're old. That movie came out 26 years ago. There's a scene in that movie where, you know, Moses gets lowered down into the Nile River, and it kind of shows how that goes. I actually want to show you about a 3-minute clip from that movie to remind you guys of what happened. So check this one out.
Still, love, don't cry. Sleep as you're rocked by the stream. Sleep and remember my last lullaby. So I'll be with you when you
Aw, isn't that cute? You know, I wanted to show you that is because that's not what happened. It is not how it went at all. And so now we're going to read from the Bible what actually happened. Didn't really go like that. Okay, so Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. Here's why all this started. Then the Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. It's just weird. Then the chapter just ends, and then it's just okay. As if that's something you would ever expect to read. And the story just continues on, and it's so disturbing. But that's what he said. Every newborn Hebrew boy thrown into the river. Pharaoh was concerned that the Hebrews were becoming too powerful and too numerous, and this was his response. Next verse in chapter 2, verse 1. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, which you can fill in some of the blanks there about why that maybe wasn't the case, the baby got bigger lungs, louder and louder, and she couldn't hide him. She got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. In other words, she made like a tiny little ark, which is not an accident, by the way. And she put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. And so what I want to point out to you, what I want us to see, in, particularly in contrast to the video, and the way in which this was not like the Prince of Egypt, what we just saw appears to be just a tremendous amount of dumb luck. This was not some reckless venture, fingers crossed, hope for the best. This was, in fact, a brilliant and strategic plan. The child was not pushed out into the water haphazardly on a wing and a prayer. It was strategically placed outside the palace because they wanted the princess to find it. The moment of shock in the little girl's eyes that the princess found that she was not shocked. That was the plan all along. Now, verse 4, the baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, which of course he was, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. What is this thing? She opens it up. Oh, it's a baby. Oh, it's a boy. Got it. It's a Hebrew, right? Because her father, Pharaoh, was in the process of this genocide of children. And she goes, obviously, Pharaoh's killing all the Hebrew boys. Someone's trying to save this child. At which point, her mind must have just been completely flooded. I mean, that means this is a Hebrew. And these are the Hebrews who had been completely enslaved, obviously, but beyond that, entirely dehumanized by her father. And he said that those foreigners should just be glad to be their slaves. He said that they were savages, that they were, you know, multiplying like rabbits in their filthy ghettos, and they should be glad to be the slaves of the king. And here's this young woman is who has had this entirely isolated life, and she'd never known a Hebrew girl her age. She never shared a meal with a Hebrew family, for sure. She only saw the Hebrews off in the distance, like building monuments to her father. And besides, her dad said that they were animals, that the Hebrews were a threat to them and a threat to her and a threat to her family and a threat to their country. But here she is looking at this little baby in a tiny ark, and she's like, this doesn't look like an animal. He just looked hungry and scared. And she quickly realized, obviously, it wasn't some animal who had gone to such unbelievable lengths to try to keep her child alive. This is the work of a desperate mother. And so there the princess stood with her stereotypes and her categories just being shattered by this little baby. And this is exactly what Moses' mom was hoping for when she, again, strategically and intentionally lowered her son into the water just outside the palace. She was hoping and praying that someone who was in a position to help would have a moment of compassion and a moment of clarity. The kind of moment that only comes from, we talk about this a lot around here, stopping and looking long enough to see the needs of someone else. Verse 7 says this, then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. I want to point out to you, there is absolutely nothing subtle about this move. Okay? It could not have been any more obvious. A Hebrew baby just appears in a basket. And then a little Hebrew girl with a ready-made plan to care for that baby just emerges from the reeds a moment later. This was not subtle. It wasn't supposed to be subtle. And now you got this Egyptian girl looking into the eyes of a Hebrew girl, probably for the very, very first time. And she's just this normal kid, you know, like maybe she looked like one of the princess's little sisters. And again, it just she just happened to appear when the tiny ark just happened to float up, and she just happened to have a plan to take care of the baby. Again, they were not trying to trick the princess. They were appealing to her humanity. The little girl might as well have said, "Hey, look, clearly that's my baby brother, obviously, and we love him, and we don't want him to die. And I know a woman who can nurse this child for you." Obviously, I'm talking about the child's mom. But look, here's a way for you to help someone who has a desperate need. And here's a clear path here for you. Will you please take the opportunity to help someone in need? And then built into this is this very real problem, which is what this little girl is saying to this princess is, I would like for you to now defy your father, the Pharaoh, who is without question the most powerful man in the world. And based on the story we just read, we could probably say the most ruthless man in the world. And in order to show compassion to this child, we would like for you to defy that man, your father. And before the princess has the chance to consider what would be the safer choice in this situation, the girl just emerges from the reeds and says, "How about the compassionate choice? What if you did that?" Now we see her response, verse 8. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, which I'm sure was agreed upon in advance, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Now, big picture here. To my mind, this gets right to the heart of generosity. And this is language we use a lot. This is someone choosing not to look away, right? We are in this world confronted with tremendous needs, and we have a choice in every case. Do we look away, or do we choose to lean into what those needs are? Do we see the need and then respond, even if it means taking a risk, as this young princess did, or even making a sacrifice? Now, the story we're looking at here is, like, obviously this is a really extreme story, and I'm assuming this has only ever happened once. And yet, this story rhymes with a lot of people's story, with a lot of your stories, actually. There are lots of people in this church who have already done something pretty similar to this. There are plenty of people in this church who have been made aware of a child or of children who needed care, and you've taken that child in, or you've taken those children in, or you've responded to their needs that you were made aware of. Lots of you have done versions of that. And thank God for that. Lots of people in this church have fostered or adopted or offered respite care to children in need. Lots of people in this room have seen the need and chosen to make the compassionate choice. I want to be clear, especially as it pertains to adoption and fostering, that's a calling, and it's an absolutely beautiful calling. Many of you, like I said, have done this. More will do it in the future. Just, again, thank God for you. On a closely related note, just because I can't get this close to this and not tell you about it, we have a foster care Q&A panel coming up on May 21st, right here at the church, 7 p.m. And about that, I just want to say, and there's information here. And then you can, of course, go to our website. Or if you have the app, is best. You can find that event and register for it so that we can be prepared for you. To that, I just want to say, if you have, like, any inclination whatsoever around foster care or adoption, you're at all considering this or want to lean in just a little bit, this is a really, really great place to get answers from people we know and love and trust. And maybe you can, you know, from there consider taking whatever the next step might be. You're not going to get your arm twisted or anything like that. Just information is there. So there's that, and that's so good. Now, that said, we won't all do those things. We won't all potentially foster or adopt. I totally understand that. God gives different burdens and different callings to different people, different times. All that's okay. That's as it should be. But with that said, all of us have a responsibility to respond to urgent needs with compassion. And as a church, we're always kind of looking for ways that we can do that, opportunities for us to do that, for us to do what Moses' family did. As a church, we're trying to do this, which is put a need in front of someone who could help and invite them to respond with compassion. So to that end, and we do this lots of ways in our church, but here's a new way we're doing this. We're partnering with Convoy of Hope, which is an organization we've worked with a lot over the years. We've given lots to over the years. And I would encourage you to do all the research you want to do on Convoy of Hope. It is a tremendous organization with this just sterling track record of responding to urgent needs all over the world. They're just really, really good at it and really efficient at it, and really well mobilized for that. Okay, and so with Convoy of Hope, we're doing a very simple but powerful, man, campaign called One Day to Feed the World. One Day to Feed the World. The idea for this is super, super simple. There are millions of hungry and malnourished people all around the globe. Convoy of Hope is set up in ways to help them in a wide variety of ways versus like in the initial immediate response, providing meals for people who are hungry, and then also providing ways for people that they'll be able to take what's given and be able to provide for themselves moving forward. So anyway, what One Day to Feed the World does is we ask each person, each household, each wage earner, however you want to think of it, each person to give the equivalent of one day's wages that we would give the Convoy of Hope to empower them to do this type of work. So the equivalent, so you would go, okay, what do I make in one day of work? And am I willing to work one day this year, one of my work days, exclusively to help feed the hungry? Last week, you may remember we talked about sacrificial giving and went on and on about how it's not about the amount, it's not about the figure, it's about sacrifice. And what's cool about One Day to Feed the World is it asks actually for the same sacrifice for each person, which is one day of your wages to feed the hungry. For some people, that'll be a lot. For some people, it won't be nearly as much. But for each of us, it's the same sacrifice, one day's wages. Now, about that, just so you know, we're not looking for an immediate response from you. Also, as we said last week, we don't want anybody to give under compulsion. So we don't want to do anything like that. But what we're going to do then is we're going to just keep this in front of you over the next few weeks. And then on June 9th, we will ask you to give. And then the next weekend, which is Father's Day, we'll celebrate how much we were able to give together. So we're doing like this sort of Mother's Day to Father's Day thing. So that's kind of the plan for that. There's some material in front of you or possibly under you because we put it right on the chairs. Some material that explains all of this. I think every question you might have is there. What I want to ask you guys to do, we'll refill the seats before the next service comes around. Don't worry about that. Is just have for each of you to take this home with you, read up on it, figure out how it works, and just begin a process of praying, okay, am I willing to give in this amount or whatever amount the Lord might lead you in order to respond to this? Just make it a point of prayer for the next few weeks. We'll keep it in front of you. And then about a month from now, we'll say, hey, this is the Sunday. Let's give to respond as we're able to give. Let me show you guys now, just about a minute or two long, another video, this one about Convoy of Hope and how they work around the world.
Convoy of Hope is a faith-based organization that brings the love of Jesus to those who are impoverished and suffering. One Day to Feed the World is your way to bring all of that to those we help. So, how can you take part? It's simple. Give one day's wage through One Day to Feed the World.
One day transform my everyday.
All right. Isn't that cool? I'm so excited to partner with Convoy of Hope. Let me invite you to stand as you are able. The band's going to come on up. We're going to sing a little bit more worship together to close our service. But before we do, I want to remind you of the verses that we read at the beginning of the message here, explaining a few really simple Old Testament laws and the principles that are found in those. If you remember, he said, if you have a field and you're harvesting your field, when you get to the corners of your field, don't go all the way to the corner. Kind of swing wide and leave a little bit. Leave a little bit for the foreigner, for the orphan, for the widow in your midst, for the poor. He said, when you're picking your grapes, don't get every grape. Like, don't do a great job picking your grapes and leave a little bit behind, because there are gonna be people who come along who are hungry and who need help, and you can leave that there for them. When you're gathering your sheaths of grain, if you drop one, don't go back and get it. Like, you can just leave that behind for others. And this is sort of an above and beyond type of thing, because again, this is in that context. Those who would obey these law, they would then take their harvest and tithe on that harvest, but there's a part that they never gathered in the first place. Because the value that the Lord gave is like, hey, there's this sort of above and beyond thing that you can do to respond to urgent needs. And the idea is really simple. When you're gathering everything that's rightfully yours, not all of it is rightfully yours. Some of it, as God's people and by God's design, can be set aside for the poor. And that principle carries on into today. This is just one way that we can follow that principle. Let's take a moment to pray, and we'll spend a moment in worship as well. King Jesus, we're grateful to be in this country where so many of us have so much more than enough. We're grateful that so many of us have jobs, have fields that we can leave the corners unharvested. And which means we're in a position, many of us, to help those with greater needs, to help those in urgent need. And so, Lord, would you please direct us as we consider responding to the needs of people around us in the coming weeks, as we consider what those needs are. We want to respond in a way that's pleasing to you. And we thank you, Jesus.